night, and Al spoke. It was a wonderful message. But Jeanette Clark, where is Jeanette? Where is she? There she is. We need to thank her for all her organising and everything. And I know she doesn't do it for this. But those, the team that she got together, us guys had the benefit of eating well, especially all the slices. Just the amount of, it was about 130 odd guys that came from all around the place, which was great that we're here. We had a number of people that, this was their first time at church. So it was just wonderful for all that took place. But they often spoke about the food and just how wonderful the whole evening ran. So much indebted to Jeanette and the team that she got together to actually facilitate that event. We've got Easter that's coming up very soon, and I just wanted to bring to your attention, hopefully last week you received one of these little cards. Hey, this isn't just for you. This is for you to use to invite someone to come to our services over Easter. On Good Friday, we're going to have a reflection time where we're just, you know, going to be gathering and really centre on what Jesus did on the cross. So it's designed, that day is designed for you to reflect in a real powerful way. And then Easter Sunday will be a wonderful celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. All sorts of things there, as well as the dawn service. That I worked out that with daylight savings ending that day, you probably have to get there about 5:30 in the morning. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. So it's going to be an early one for a lot of people, but yeah, it'll be great out at Eagles to see the dawn come up. And also in our foyer, we have these from Daily Bread Ministries, The Debt is Paid. It's just a very simple thing that you can take with you, take home, look at, or even just you know, someone that you might know, you can pop it in their mailbox or you can actually hand to them. Just a reminder about the story of Easter. So it'd be great if you could do that. They're available in the foyer. Well, we're continuing our series over that we've been doing over the past week called Jesus Made Headlines. And we've been looking at some of the episodes in Jesus' life that would have been headline worthy. And today is no exception when you've simply got a title of Surprise! Okay, all right, so that's what we're going to be talking about. Now, I've often started the message off with just some headlines from around the world. And these are a few that I've found. Okay, let's look at this one. You could label that under duh. Okay, all right. Next one. It's no miracle cure, all right, okay. Well, they are dead, okay, all right. Next. Now read it, just read it, read all of us. I don't think that marriage is going too well at the moment. All right. Next one. Now this could happen here. It could happen here. I've got my eye out there. It's okay. All right. Okay. All right. And Jesus is still making headlines today. This was actually last year in Time magazine. So we've just got that up. That's another one. But go to that one. Go to the next one. Yeah, Jesus is still making headlines. If you actually look at that, global crisis sending Gen Z to church, that's actually been happening worldwide in the past year. That it's been happening a lot. So it's just powerful. Jesus is still involved in many people's lives. So before we dive in, let's pray. Father God, I do thank you for the opportunity to open up your scripture today. We thank you for that your word is alive, it's active. And help us not to be focused on the miracle itself, but on the one who did it. Today, may we learn more about Jesus. And may this message inspire us to walk closely with you. And we ask that your Holy Spirit just open our eyes to see your truth. And may we not harden our hearts, but rather receive your teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what I wanted you to do to start off this service is I want you to think to when you were a child. Now, for some of you, that could be a long time, okay, all right. But just think about that thing that you desperately desired to have, okay? That thing that when you were a kid that you really desperately wanted. Okay? All right, everyone got something in their mind? To show you what was mine, okay? This is what was mine, okay? That was an Atari video console, okay? For all the kids that are out there going, what on earth? Okay, it's before Xbox and PlayStation and everything like that. I begged and pleaded my dad for this, okay? I even turned spiritual over this, okay? I prayed, dear God, would you make my dad give me this video console? And while you're at it, I want a puppy. No, okay, but dad didn't budge, okay? But I was always begging him for it. And he didn't get it. He didn't get it for me. For years, it consumed my life because this is what I wanted. Okay? Now, why I tell you this story was this was my first memory of ever really being disappointed with God. Even if it's a kid. You know? There's no God. You know? I said a prayer, I didn't get it. You know, where are you? Now, you may laugh about that. Okay, maybe you've got a childhood moment in your head of what you desperately wanted, you know, sort of like. But if I'm really honest with you this morning, and I want to be, is there are times where I haven't outgrown that desire? I've gotten older, okay, but I haven't outgrown the desire of desperately wanting something. And my guess this morning is that I'm not alone in this. If you're like me, we've simply replaced the desire for a game with something that's a bit more age-appropriate. You've kept the same passion, the same longing. You've traded the toy for something you believe is going to be more meaningful for your life. There's something in your life that you just want badly. There are times where you just pray these desperate prayers and longing. You're praying for a better job, a more meaningful career. Mum's in here, dad's here. Your kids might have wandered away from Jesus. And you're just praying spiritually. Your desperate prayer is that they would come back. There are some of you this morning that maybe your marriage is in trouble and you want your marriage to be strengthened. There are people that are praying for a physical healing, not just for themselves, but for loved ones. So what am I saying? I'm saying that all of us can identify. We can identify with something that's important that we want to see happen. But truth be told, it's not coming the way that we would write the script. Okay? So let's make it a little bit more personal. Raise your hand this morning if you've ever felt that God was not acting or moving on your timing. Yeah. So what's your desperate prayer? Now, for the sake of an illustration, I've got a red cup up here. Okay, it's a big cup. It's actually a easy heat soup cup that I found in the kitchen, okay? All right. But it's a cup. So what we're going to do, for the sake of an illustration, with your desperate prayer, just put it in the cup. Put it in the cup. So you've got your desperate prayer in this cup. And the good thing about a cup is it's portable. It goes with us, doesn't it? Wherever we go, it's with us. It's easy to hold. If we put it down, it's like, we want to go back to it. Because it's ours. It's our desperate prayer. It's the thing. It's just natural. If it's too far away, we want to get closer to it again. So just put your desperate prayer, you know, just for the sake of this illustration this morning, just put it in a cup. Now, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to see what happens when Jesus intercepts someone's desperate prayer, okay? And in this, I'm really praying that you're going to find some hope for your prayers. John chapter 11, if you have your Bibles with you, or you might want to open up on your electronic versions or whatever like that, I'm looking at this from the New Living Translation this morning. So what we're looking at this morning involves two sisters and a brother. Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. All three, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, they're very, very close to Jesus, okay? But Lazarus is very sick. And the sisters send word to Jesus that your friend, Lazarus, is sick and he needs to be healed. So So when we're talking sick here, we're talking sick, sick, okay? We're talking, this isn't an infected toenail or anything like that. We're talking about death knocking on Lazarus' door. Now, what's interesting to me is that when Jesus finds out that his friend is sick, Jesus surprises everyone because he doesn't do anything for 2 days, all right? Yet his friend is deadly sick, and what does Jesus do? He just takes his time. As a matter of fact, by the time that Jesus gets to Lazarus' house, he's dead, all right? But here's the surprise, and some of you know this, you know, Lazarus doesn't stay dead. As I've studied this story, I've pulled out 5 things that I want to share with you this morning, okay? 5 things that I see about Jesus that helps us in our desperate prayer in the life that we live today. Firstly, Jesus demonstrates a unique timing. Now, it's surprising that he doesn't go to Lazarus straight away. It maybe even be a little bit disturbing. Think about that for a moment. His friend is sick, and Jesus is in no rush. Okay, verses 5 to 7. So although Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea. So let's go and see Lazarus." So by the time he gets to Lazarus, it's been 4 days. Why? Well, scholars believe it took a day probably for the messenger to find Jesus. Okay, day one. Jesus stays where he is for 2 days and then travel. 4 days. Put yourself for a moment in Mary and Martha's desperate prayer. Our brother is dead. You've got to imagine that they're just going crazy. The whole situation. Where's Jesus? Come on. Doesn't he know? He loves Lazarus, you know. Didn't he get the message? You know, doesn't he care? What's going on? For many of us, that's the most frustrating part in trusting our lives to Jesus. He doesn't operate on our timetable. And the delay can just be torturous. Think about your desperate prayer for a moment. Okay? Maybe you're feeling like Mary and Martha. Where is he? What's going on? Doesn't he care? Doesn't he love me? Because he's not showing up. Where? We say things, but I want you to show up in this area of my life. And when he doesn't do it, step away from him. We stop trusting him and we continue to step away. God, I need this prayer answered by 3 p.m. today. And when he doesn't do it, we start that process. Why? Trusting Jesus and time conditions, they don't go together. They don't go together. And that's what I've been learning in my life, is that for me to trust in Jesus, I must put my trust in his timing. His timing. Now, that may seem easy for some of you. Tell you what, it's been very difficult for me. There are times in my own life where I feel like he's just on a vacation. You know, he's not listening. He's moving too slowly. We've got to learn to trust in his timing. It's really important to understand. To walk with Jesus means I walk at his pace. It's not that we're going, come on, Jesus, come on, hurry up. Let's go. We're not doing that. We're walking at his pace, at his timing. This issue of trust and timing, I could talk all day. Okay, I know someone's got a 3-liter bit of water there, so no, I won't do that. Okay, it's all right. Secondly, Jesus offers a bigger life, a bigger life. What he's saying is that whatever you put in your cup, or it's in the cup. I know it's big for you. I know it's big. It's like, Martha, I know this is big to you. But guess what? Jesus is saying, I want to offer you something that's so much bigger. So much bigger. And that's hard for us to understand because nothing seems bigger than what is in the cup. Nothing seems bigger than our desperate prayer, the thing that we're longing for. It reads, when Martha got word that Jesus was coming. So Lazarus has already died. Jesus is coming. Martha runs out to meet him. Mary stays at home. She went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. But she had a small view. Now, she just gives the Sabbath answer, which is a bit like, you know, when you're in Sunday school and think back to those times, kids' church, whatever, and sort of like someone asks you a question, you got God, Jesus, Bible. Okay, I'll get one of those three. I'm bound to get the answer right. But she just gives the good Sabbath, you know, answer. Yes, Martha said. He will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Yeah, I know that. But Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Anyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? There is so much there. But what I love in this is that Martha actually has the courage to say what many of us feel. Jesus, where were you? Why didn't you show up? If you were here, if only you'd listened, if only you'd come through, if only you'd worked on my timing, if only you'd intervened, this wouldn't have happened. The way I imagine it is Jesus, God in the flesh, just comes up tenderly holding Martha's face and saying, Martha, your brother will rise again. Do you believe this, Martha? But Martha had a little view. Now, I don't blame her for having a little view because in real life, dead people don't rise. Based on her experience, she's never seen this before. So she's got this little view going on. But Jesus is painting a bigger picture. Her little view meant eternal life. She's thinking heaven. Yes, he'll rise again at the end of time. It's what all good Jews believed. But Jesus wasn't talking about eternal life, life after death. He was also talking about life now. Now. And because he knew that he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. Now, for most of my life, I've had a limited view. I've heard eternal life, and you always think, oh, yep, heaven. But eternal life starts now. Now. Eternal life starts when I believe and I put my trust in Jesus. There is something bigger happening now. But for a lot of us, we might live like we're thankful for our sins. We've been forgiven. That's the past. We're thankful that we've got a ticket into heaven. Yep, got a relationship with Jesus. But for a lot of us, life can just feel like hell right now. We're barely surviving. Living a passionless, just barely hanging on survival life. That's not a spirit-filled life. So let me paint a picture for you. Imagine you know someone that's been given a life pass to the MCG. A free pass for their entire life. Now, I'm not talking about MCG membership or anything like that. This is a pass you can go wherever you want to go. All right? You can go and see whatever you want to see. Okay? Free entrance. And this person goes to the MCG a lot. But when they go, they just stay on the outside. All right? You know, they hear the roar of the crowds for the events. They get some food from the food truck outside, but they just stay at the entrance. They've not experienced the whole thing. If you knew someone like that, what would you say to them? Come on, just get inside. Go inside. There's so much more to experience. You're only experiencing half. You know, it's sort of like, get inside, experience all. The kingdom of God isn't just about when you die. The kingdom of God is now. It's now. And we're missing out on this incredible big adventure called life and living it with Jesus. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe this? Insert your own name. The kingdom is now. So what does that look like? Well, just to be real practical, here's what I think the kingdom of God is now. I've simplified it. Two phrases. I live with the presence of Jesus here, and I rely on the power of God now. Where do I get that from? Ephesians 3 tells us, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with the inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. So you live with the presence of Jesus here. Here. Meaning that he's made a home in your heart. You know, if, I don't know, if that doesn't get you dead, all right, okay? So you live with the presence of Jesus here. But you rely on the power of Jesus right now. Ephesians 1, pray that you will understand this incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. The same power. Now track that with me, okay? That rose Jesus from the dead is the same power that's available to us. There's a wonderful song that I love. It's called The Same Power. It's a worship song, and just every time I hear it, it's a powerful song. But the same power that Jesus uses to raise Lazarus from the dead is the same power that's available to us as followers. Yes, please. I will take it. Okay? So what does that mean? It means that although that our power is limited, the same power that created the whole playground that we call Earth, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, that same power is available to us right now. That's God saying, Andrew, I've got a bigger view of life for you than your desperate prayer. Follow me into the kingdom. Quit staying around the entrance. Follow my teachings. Put them into practice in your own life. Obey them. Quit relying on your own power. Surrender it to me. Grab on to me. Walk with me at my pace. Because he's the resurrection and the life. You want to start living. Does that make sense? The third thing that we reveal from this story is that Jesus reveals a heart that breaks. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, now that's Martha, and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. And people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved him. This is Jesus weeping. Jesus is sad, but why? Because Lazarus is dead? I personally don't think so. Because he knows he's going to raise him. I think Jesus wept, as the Bible says there, because he saw her weeping. His heart broke with the pain of Martha's heart. His heart broke for those that were grieving and mourning. The pain that they're experiencing, it broke the heart of Jesus. And you, within Jesus, you see the very character of God. He feels our hearts. When our heart is breaking, his heart is breaking alongside us as well. Take that on board. If you're going through a very painful situation in your life and you're wondering whether God cares, he cares because his heart is breaking alongside you. He's there. The fourth thing from the story about Jesus is this. Jesus displays a power that transforms. Now that wording, to that point, may sound a little bit redundant because all power transforms. It does. That's what power does, all right? I know this firsthand. I was fixing a light switch one day a number of years ago, and I didn't turn the power off, and I had this screwdriver, and I touched one of the live wires. Boom, there it was. Surprise! You know, sort of like, that's what power does, all right? Power shocks you. Yeah, I found that. It transforms you. Power changes you. But Jesus delivers a different kind of power. Verse 39. Jesus says, roll the stone aside. Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell's going to be terrible. For those that are following along in the King James, it says he stinketh, all right? That's what it reads. But Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. And I said it, but I say it out loud for the sake of these people standing here so that they will believe you who sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. I read that and I'm trying to work out. This is the way my brain goes. From the time Jesus said, Lazarus, come out, there must have been a little bit of a pause. Can you imagine being there? The people. Did Martha believe? Did anyone believe? Did people doubt? Were some mocking? And then all of a sudden, boom! All right? The question for us is not whether Jesus had the power. The question is, do we believe enough to trust him with our lives, with everything that we've placed in our cup? Do we believe? Here's what I find about my own life, and I said it before. We often limit God's power when we don't fully trust him. Is what we say. We say, Jesus, I trust you. I trust you with this area of my life. But if I'm honest, there's something over here that I just, that's mine. Okay, I'll just hold, Lord, I trust you. I surrender to you. But I'm holding this one back. Jesus wants all of us. Both hands. Release it to him. Trying to control it is not going to fix it. Worrying about it is not going to fix it. Thinking about it all the time is not going to fix it. It will consume you. But surrendering to God helps you through it. Surrender. And this fifth point, and it's a bit of what Ross was saying before, actually, is that Jesus calls the community to help. So one of the great things about being a follower of Jesus is we don't have to do life alone. We don't have to. Now, the last verse I'm going to look at, there's only 9 words. Only 9 words in this verse, but there is one word that's easy to overlook, but it's very powerful. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. I love that Jesus told them. Them. He told the community. He told family, friends. He invites them to get involved. Okay? So why did Jesus instruct other people to take off Lazarus' burial clothes? Why didn't he do it himself? Why didn't Lazarus go, shake all that stuff off and take, you know, why didn't he do it himself? I think this something going on that Jesus is teaching us. There's something that community actually gains by actually touching, by physically touching Lazarus. Getting so close that maybe the odor is there, I don't know, okay? But this is community that's going on here. And this is wonderful. And that's why we have connect groups in our church. You want community? You know, it's wonderful that you can come and be a part of everything that we do on a Sunday morning. But when you're in a connect group, when you're journeying through life in a smaller group of people, there is power in that. Because you're able to share all that's happening in life. You're able to grow. You're able to pray together. When people have got needs, you can help that. Deepness, that's the connection that Jesus wants us to have with each other. It's more than a Sunday morning thing. Sunday mornings are great, but to have that connection outside of a Sunday morning takes your relationship with God to a whole nother level. It really is. I love that. We are all in a battle of life together. Unwrap him. Let him live. Don't be held captive by the garments of death. Think about that. We've been given a new life. Yet there are times in our lives that we live life like we're still in the grave. You know, we dress ourselves in clothes of doubt, of fear, shame, guilt, self-loathing. They're not the right clothes. We need to be around other people that are following Jesus who have been unwrapped. I mean, that's living the reality of a spirit-led Jesus-filled life. We need to be unwrapped. This is what the church needs to be. We need to be a people of community. You know what was wonderful about some of the things that happened on Thursday night? It brought me to tears at one point. There was a gentleman that had never stepped foot in a church before. He wasn't here for a church service, but he was here because, you know, it was a men's event. He thought he'd come along. There was a couple of guys that I saw, and they told me afterwards that they connected with him and they prayed for him. That's being a follower of Jesus. And it was just wonderful to see. You know how people get disappointed in life? It's easy to get disappointed when all you're doing is focusing on your desperate prayer. On your life. When your eyes are just totally focused on your cup. That's when you can get disappointed. But we need to take our eyes off the cup and focus on Jesus. His timing is surprising. His offer to a bigger life is surprising. The empathy and love and tears that he sheds for us, it's surprising. His power that he gives you and I access to, that's surprising. His plans to use other people to come into our lives, that's surprising. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Let's pray. God, thank you that in our confusion and doubt and fear and worry at times, that you just never stop loving us. My prayer for this community of incredible people is that we would grasp your bigger picture for our lives and put our trust in you. And we would express that trust by following you, by following your teachings, just in your ways, your timing. Just this morning, Lord, we recommit to rely on your power and to live out your presence in our lives. Lord, help us to remember that you are Emmanuel. You are God with us. This morning, Lord, I just really pray that we'd be different. Different because of understanding these things that have shown us your character. Your character of your timing, your character of what you're calling us to, how much you love us, the power that you give to us, and how you want us to live in community. Lord, help us to be different because we know these things. As we step out into all that we do this week, we can start living those things out. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.